A giant oak stood near a brook in which grew some slender reeds. When the wind blew, the great oak stood proudly upright with its 100 arms uplifted towards the sky. But the reeds bowed low in the wind and sang a sad and mournful song. "You have reason to complain," said the oak. "The slightest breeze that ruffles the surface of the water makes you bow your heads, while I, the mighty oak, stand upright and firm before the howling tempest." "Do not worry about us," replied the reeds. "The winds do not harm us. We bow before them, and so we do not break. You, in all your pride and strength, have so far resisted their blows, but the end is coming." As the reeds spoke, a great hurricane rushed out of the north. The oak stood proudly and fought against the storm, while the yielding reeds bowed low. The wind redoubled in fury, and all at once the great tree fell, torn up by the roots, and lay among the pitying reeds. Today's episode is all about change. I got to sit down with Robin O'Hara, Executive Officer and Head of Customer Experience for the Regional Tap Smart Card Program at Los Angeles Metro. For those of you who might not be familiar with LA public transit or this terminology overall, TAP is the regional transit card that allows you to tag on to various buses and trains around the county. It's the same thing as Clipper here in the Bay Area, Smart Trip in DC, MetroCard in New York, I believe, and so on. As you might guess, Robin and team are sitting in an industry that has recently undergone quite a bit of change as rideshare business models have kind of redefined how a community thinks about and engages with public transit. As you might not guess, however, this redefining hasn't necessarily spelled out doomsday for public transit services like LA Metro. CityLab, a publication that's dedicated to exploring the zeitgeists of the world's metropolitan region, recently asked the question, is Uber the enemy or the ally of public transit? And they found that, while of course it does depend on the city and the transit agency in some cases, overall, larger cities with a decently strong Uber presence saw a slight rise in public transit ridership because rideshares tend to fill the gaps in public transit coverage. AKA, people are more willing to take an Uber to the train station and then use that train to travel across the city versus decide between walking to the same train station or just getting in their car and driving the whole way themselves. It's a change in city dynamics. And Robin and team are bowing to these winds, embracing this change, by finding a way to incorporate these newer service models into their transit portfolio, so to speak, instead of standing rigid in that face of change. I won't scoop today's story here, but I do want to give you some of the salient points up front for context. Three things. One, Robin and team built an engagement layer on Salesforce that enabled Metro's existing infrastructure to talk to or interface with a whole slew of new transit services. Number two, this deployment was part of a strategy that turned transit cards into transit accounts, demonstrating how a team can take its organizational values, like thinking about equality, putting customers first, and making them very, very real and very actionable, not just aspirational. And number three, yes, this is a story about a transit agency and what it did with its transit payment process, but I personally think it's incredibly versatile. As you listen to today's episode, I want you to think about how it might apply to other missions, if you work on an EBT system or have a very retail-like mission. This is Our Digital Nation. Stay tuned.
Our Digital Nation is brought to you by the FedRAMP-approved Salesforce Government Cloud. Give leadership, management, and employees the mobile, self-service, analytical tools they need to connect data, process, and people. Create a digital platform that puts the customer at the heart of the mission.
Let's kick off with some of the basics. You built an engagement layer into your existing transit card platform. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So we have a smart card system here in Los Angeles County, and Los Angeles County is larger in population than 41 U.S. states. So it's a huge space to have a transit system work. And what we built here our legacy transit system is a system that uses hardware and connects with a smart card. And so it works great for our legacy transit system. But when in this day and age, folks want more than just transit, they think about that first and last mile of getting from their house to the transit system or to the bus stop. I want to give a quick shout out here to our consultant, Mark Kroenke from Invoke Technologies, because he actually built the architecture. But we used a company called Vertivo that is a Salesforce integrator. Later, they were bought up by P.S, and they built us a layer that will now enable us to use a cloud-based system to connect any outside system, such as Lyft or bike share or scooter sharing, with our existing legacy transit system. Imagine us asking Lyft, for example, if they wanted to put some connectors, hardware connectors in each one of their cars so that our transit smart cards could work. It's not feasible. By the way, we did ask them and they did say no. No, it's kind of important for us to be able to build something that would connect that didn't use hardware.
That's so cool. So to make sure I'm clear, when you say hardware, you mean literally like the readers that, well, up here in the Bay Area, it's a Clipper card, but tap card, Clipper card, Metro card,
yep.
The readers you just tag on with?
Yes. So if you have ever ridden our transit system, it's actually the same kind of a system up in San Francisco. You will see your smart card that connects with a bus fare box. You touch it on the bus fare box when you get on the bus, or you touch it on a rail validator or a station gate when you enter the rail system.
Mm-hmm.
And that deducts the amount from your transit smart card and allows you to quickly get on and off buses and into and out of stations. So we're not ready to throw that system out. We really like it. And we think it would have cost us literally $500 million if we changed all of that out. So we didn't want to.
Wow.
Not just the cost, but it is confusing for customers to have to switch to a new system. And our customers actually like our smart cards. We do a lot of cool commemorative cards, and it's something that we're just not ready to throw out yet. It's working well. So the next best thing to building out a full new system, and probably not even the next best thing, but for us, the best thing would be to add on a system that connects. So that's what we built.
That's so cool. So if I were to describe it in, I don't know, kind of layman's terms, it sounds like you've got the legacy infrastructure there, the system that houses all of the data and payment information and everything. And then what you've done is almost create a layer on top of that. Yep. So that it's like a translation layer. So that system can speak to some of these, you know, Lyfts and Ubers of the world.
That's exactly right. So what we did is we built the layer in Salesforce. A lot of these account-based, cloud-based systems are able to connect through Salesforce's standardized APIs, software programming interface in a cost-effective way for our taxpayers and a really beautiful way for our customers to be able to have all of these expanded services, kind of really personalized for each customer. So we're super excited about it. We're trying to offer our customers as many choices and as many ways to connect as we possibly can. And, you know, if I haven't said it, that to us is the most important way that we can actually get people to try transit, is to make those additional first and last miles as easy and as customizable as possible.
And I got to tell you, Robin, every time I open up my Starbucks app in the morning now, I think of you guys every time after you explain this to me. So I'm really excited for you to explain it to our listeners.
Yeah. So we have always had transfers in the transit system. And our customers are used to, like, you get on and you might get a free or reduced transfer if you connect within, let's say, a 2 to 2.5 hour period. But when you're using these outside programs, like bike share, for example,
mm-hmm.
what we wanted to do is think out of the box. And it's really important with the whole mobility as a service mindset to be able to offer your customers incentives and choices. And so what we built is a rewards program that is very much like the Starbucks program. And so what that is you don't just hand your customer something after they have done you the service of purchasing a fare and riding your system. We believe it's more important that you actually give that customer a choice, give that customer a reward that they might like.
Okay.
And so we are building a system. And I mean, think of it. When you go to Starbucks, do they just hand you a black coffee after you have a certain amount of rewards? No, you get to choose off the menu, right? You get to choose the product that you want to try, you know, and maybe you're going to be incentivized because it's free to try something new. And that's the way we're thinking about our system. So for example, when that customer goes off and collects enough rewards, they get to choose from a menu of things that they might want to try or that they like. So instead of handing them a free transfer onto transit, maybe we want to encourage that person to try bike share or to try scooter sharing or to try some other type of a service that they might not have tried before.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can incentivize those folks then by upping the rewards that they get from certain programs. And it's just a really, really flexible way of treating our customers well for using our services and allowing them to choose off a menu of what they want. So right now that has been built and we are planning on rolling that out very soon, but we're talking to the programs that are using the reward system. And again, equity is very important to us. So we want to make sure that we are getting those rewards exactly right for the different programs. So we're working with them right now. Expect that to roll out in the next couple of months. And I talked earlier about our legacy transit system. Mm-hmm. That and a system the company called Cubic has built, and it's a next fare system. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And the system handles all the transactions for bus and rail customers. And then our TapForce system handles all of the customer sales. So it was a little hard for us to combine transactions like trip histories and that along with sales. Now with Einstein, we can combine these things and take a look at different things that we've never been able to do before. So it's the ability to pull things together from different systems, and then we can show dashboards to maybe our stakeholders, our board members, the mayor's office, whoever we have to demo to.
There are two kind of key subtleties in there that I really want to discuss a little bit at length here with you, Robin. The first one is the regional aspect in that. You know, if you look at LA County, you guys, at least in my humble opinion, you guys are mapping in these services and you're thinking about how folks get maybe from one end of the county to the other. And, you know, what does that look like from their home to the transit station, to the rail station, to the bus stop? You guys are really taking a regional approach. And as cities become more populated and metro areas become kind of the new hotspot where folks are moving into, I think that's just going to become all that much more important. Can you talk to me a little bit about that kind of the regional theme that's buried within this work?
Yeah. So before we even started TapForce, TAP itself, the TAP system, is made up of really 27 operators. There's 25 transit agencies, and then there's a paratransit service and a commuter rail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a huge number of agencies that we collaborate on a daily basis. We meet monthly. We are very, very much a group. So it's Metro and all of the other transit agencies in the county that have formed the TAP system.
Okay.
So it's really important regionally, and it includes cities like large cities. I think Long Beach might be the seventh or eighth largest city in the nation, which that gets buried by the fact that LA is so huge. But Long Beach is in LA County, Santa Monica, another huge city in LA County, Torrance, a huge city in LA County. All of these cities around LA make up the region that TAP serves. And so TapForce now, with this additional layer, allows each one of those regional agencies to participate with their own let's say somebody wants to do a microtransit that covers that last mile. They can do this now. And, you know, all they have to do is come to us. We are the central integrator for everybody and say, hey, we would like to integrate our microtransit. Can you help us? And we, of course, say yes. And in fact, we are having a meeting with the munis coming up to kind of coordinate all of their needs. And it's really a nice regional piece where I think there sort of needs to be one central focus for this. I know that some of the outside companies have tried to do some what they call mobility as a service and coordinate these first last mile things. But as a regional operator of a regional tap, we are uniquely placed to be able to help others create those systems on their own. And all it does is enhance our system, because no matter what, the tap account can work, whether it's in Santa Monica or Long Beach or Los Angeles proper, it works throughout that very, very large area. And we can facilitate that and help them out with that through our Tap Force system.
So it goes back to, again, that customer experience. You know, as you guys are thinking through this, looking at your region, you're thinking about how customers experience transit, and they experience it regionally because everything is integrated down there.
That's exactly right.
That's cool. All right. I said there were two. The second one, you mentioned equity. And that's something that, you know, especially as we look at the core values here at Salesforce, you know, equality is something that we hold very near and dear to our hearts. And that's why this really stood out to me too when we were prepping for this interview. Just as much as you guys have to think about stuff regionally, you know, almost thinking about it regionally means you have to think about everyone. You have to serve everyone.
Yep. Since that's such an important part to us, we have spent a lot of time and a lot of thought and put a lot of effort into making it just as easy for somebody who doesn't have a bank account to use Tap Force as it is for someone who's a wealthy commuter going to work every day. So in thinking about that, I guess the ability for Tap Force to be able to integrate into those services that make that a little bit easier for those marginalized populations, it's relatively easy to integrate those kinds of functions. We had so much of our board and our mayor very interested in serving all of the populations of Los Angeles County. And to us, it was just very important for us to get that integration. So when we're looking at systems to use, it just makes sense to use a system that enables that and actually encourages it. We're proud of that piece of our system and are really looking forward to how easy that makes it for customers to participate.
If you want to learn more about this case study, visit sfdc.co/LA Metro. That's sfdc.co/Lima Alpha Mike Echo Tango Romeo Oscar. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into Our Digital Nation. To learn more about the trends and technology behind the discussion, visit us at salesforce.com/industries/government, or follow us on Twitter at SalesforceGOV.